Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I often say, if I know someone that I'm interviewing, and I've known Cheryl for many, many years, Cheryl Snap Connor, and I'm excited to have her on the show today because the world of PR has changed significantly. And as always, we talk about making sure who you listen to, who you get counsel from, not just advice and opinions. You want somebody who's been there, done that, and is at the forefront, and they're playing big in their industry. And Cheryl, you've been in PR for a very long time, and I want to thank you and welcome you to as my guest today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, not only do you do PR, but you help people become authorities in their field. You've created an online university. So we talk about multiple streams of income. We talk about playing big. And then, and I noticed, and I did not know this before, I started looking, reviewing your website. You also have a speakers bureau. So I didn't even know about that part. So the world has changed in PR. So let's start with how you got into PR. Let's go back to little Cheryl and give us a little bit about your background.
I'm a graduate of Brigham Young University and had a minor in English. My major was family resource management. I thought I would be a stay-at-home mom. That English minor saved my bacon. And I ended up by fortunate destiny in a technology company starting here in Utah that very quickly realized they needed to communicate to the mass world, but were operating in an area of technology that people didn't know existed. So that was a real challenge. And they chose me specifically because I had no technology background. They needed somebody who could speak lay English so that people would know and be excited. So that was actually a great opportunity for me because I was able to pioneer in many respects what we now consider thought leadership or expert source kind of background that's educative. And it was a whole lot of fun. It resulted in many good things. And it was not very many years later that I started the first of four agencies that I've now been at the helm of. The current one, now 11 years strong, is the first that I've entirely headed.
Well, so that's an experience. In addition, you've been recognized as a thought leader by Forbes Magazine, Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine. So you've not just earned it, but you've been recognized by, you know, very, very big sources. So and I know personally you've helped create and put Secret Knock on the map and CEO Space and many speakers that you highlight. So you're not just playing big for Cheryl, you're helping other people get the recognition that they need. And I want to, you know, applaud you for that. And I think it's, you know, a lot of people are out there, I talk about celebrity branding or mission branding, but you truly are helping people. And not, they don't even have to be your specific clients. You're out there recognizing people and helping people get noticed. And I want to thank you for that. So,
I've joked with people that I challenged out of most college math. And I tell people openly, and I have to really acknowledge you, Sharon, for excelling like you do in the financial arena, that while I still don't love math as an entrepreneur, I've certainly learned to respect it. So that is so important. And what you are providing has so much value to those of us who are creatives, but need to use that creative talent to create a business and an outcome as well.
And that's where I talk about the power of association. You know, don't stifle your creativity skills, but make sure you've got somebody on your team that can bring those business skills or those accounting skills to it. You know, in school, we're taught to do everything on our own, and truly be successful, you need to have the right team around you. And I see you have an incredible team at your SnapCover agency. And I'd love for you to share a little bit, because with this agency, you said you've been in it for 11 years.
Yes.
Tell me about the transformation from 11 years ago to today in the world of PR.
Well, I'm sure I'm not alone in this either, but I left a bad business partnership. And
I've done that.
Yes, so many of us have, but I was maybe too bold at that point. I realized I had no choice, and I thought, well, whatever I do, it will be better than this. And so I was more confident than I probably was prepared to be, because I learned a lot very quickly. That I didn't repeat the mistakes that my former partner had made. I made my own. They were originals. And so there was a lot to learn. There was a lot to learn about leadership, key things that I learned about leading people, because I tended to want to lead people like me, and everybody isn't me. So I would have been far better off had I learned more of the universal management kind of skills sooner than I did. Honestly, things have gone really, really well, but I can't say it's been a straightforward path without its pain and hiccups. That on paper, it looks wonderful that we've been profitable every year, we've grown, but behind the scenes, there's been a lot of learning and adjustment taking place. So that's how.
Well, 11 years ago, there was very little of any social media. And so today, social media, and certainly you also help people with brand management and crisis management. So, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, when you're consulting a new client, you're obviously, it's a much bigger playing field than it used to be from a standpoint of what you do. So share a little bit.
Absolutely. And in fact, so many people think that there's not such a need for formal public relations because, hey, I can post, I can be present anywhere I want to be, the publications, I could reach out, I could get a hold of them myself. Well, that may be true, but without strategy and foresight, you may be painting yourself right into the grave. Very literally, that people who, from the time they name their company, name it something that has them doomed before they begin, or don't think it through and have a market segment that doesn't work. And you can certainly pivot, but it's tougher to have to make big pivots in the public eye because the internet doesn't forget. So everything that you tried before you hit the right formula is there on the record for the world to see and for you to even have to get past. And we give people a format or a template. And I'm the first to advise people in the early stages of any business, do everything that you can for yourself, but do engage some expertise or learn some expertise that mainly what you need an agency for at that level is their strategy and their connections. The things that you can roll up your sleeves and do yourself, you should. And I cry to see entrepreneurs spending too much of their savings or their investment money too soon on teams that are just merely winding up the phone and hitting check marks. Mm-hmm. Not really that invested, not that well equipped to represent who you are. Nobody's got more passion and energy around it than the founder. So if they're well prepared, there's a lot they can do without having to engage an agency yet, but be strategic about it.
And so, and part of that, talk a little bit about your content university, because I think you wanted to take that step to help people, if they wanted to do something on their own, for them to really understand how to do it in a way that was, accessible to them 24/7 from the comfort of their own home. So talk a little bit about what the university does.
One of the biggest opportunities open to entrepreneurs right now is that you can be your own publisher. The magazines are in flux. Things happen every day. We can't control it. At best, it's rented space. So if you publish yourself, you are well ahead of the game. But there are some secrets for it that a lot of people, it's surprisingly difficult for people to understand a couple of golden rules. One of them that I'm talking about frequently is speak to your audience listening. That when people go into communications, their own publishing or talking with reporters and what they hope to achieve out of public relations. It's all about, I want to be seen. I want people to know my story. I want awareness, and not really recognizing or thinking through the audience has selfish interest and a million things hitting them constantly. That if you add value to the things that keep them awake at night, that provide something they're actually interested in, then they have a reason to want to engage and to know more about you. So too many people go forward with a self-centered agenda, and it's so pervasive that that's what we've done with that Content University course, which is available online, or we go into companies and do offsites, teaching them how to communicate in a way that their audience can listen.
And I love that.
I'll give a couple of examples that universally companies who communicate outwardly tend in their first stages to default to corporate speak, which is like a fire hose of encyclopedia material. And you've basically blasted your audience away before you ever begin. And if instead, even in press releases, if you make it interesting, think and write like a journalist. Think, what would a journalist want to receive? What would a journalist audience want to read and see? You're in a completely different playing field. It does take some practice, but it is possible. And then you're well ahead of anything that you do in PR or in columns that you publish. Mm-hmm. Even if you just publish on your company blog, you're going to be so much further ahead.
Well, and it's so consistent with, you know, it's parallel messaging to what I tell people as far as, you know, don't come out with your features. Let's talk about your benefits. And then, you know, the difference between a celebrity brand and a mission brand.
Yes.
And so the most successful companies solve a problem or serve a need. You know, that's the mission. And that's how you can get outside of yourself and remind yourself what problem you're solving, what need you're serving, which means in the eyes of the consumer. You know, how are you supporting them? What are the benefits to them? As opposed to, I do this, 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 and this, which is your features. You know, your customers don't care about your features. They care about how you're going to change your life, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's an interesting data point that I had the honor of getting to break this research in both Forbes and in Inc. But a company actually conducted some research, and this is business to consumer, but I suspect similar holds true for business-to-business communications. But with 500 respondents, this company proved that if you provide something that's purely educational, and one of the examples I particularly liked was telling people how to make their own almond milk in a blender. Not hypey, not pitchy, not promotional, but when that piece goes out, the recipient is 133% more inclined to buy from the provider who published that information. Never did get to the speeds and feeds of the blender, but that organization was willing to provide information that they were intrigued with, that they needed. You know, same holds true if you have bicycles for sale, an evaluation of what are the different choices for helmets. If it's for your child, you want to know what is going to be sufficient. What do I need to do? That's the kind of thing people are dying to scan over and read and receive. If you do that, and when I first saw that research, I said, well, yeah, if you grab them quick, but I bet that lasts about 5 minutes. Actually, they did a follow-up survey with the respondents a week later. They were still 70-some% more inclined to buy, plus their trust and value associations with that brand had even grown in the week after they saw the material. So that should be a lesson to all of us. And that company has actually done case studies too of people like Weber Brandt, you know, the grills. Mm-hmm. People on average don't get a new grill for maybe 4 to 8 years. And it's maybe counter-cyclical. If you were in a recession, it's probably the last thing that you'd decide to buy immediately.
Sure.
How do you capture anybody during that moment when they're ripe for that decision? And that company, just through their own blogs, not even going out to magazines, produced things like tips, hints, recipes, and grew their market share while everybody else was shrinking. So I think that's powerful information for all of us. Share the value and you'll be trusted and be people will buy. Yeah,
I talk about, you know, when you're doing nurturing campaigns, it's like give, ask, right? Always make sure you're providing tons of value. Because people like to do business with people they know, like, and trust, right?
Exactly. Well, and if you think about all the emails people send out, to the point that all of these shock and awe things to make the subject line look like it's a real message, those just annoy. Those just annoy. But what if there were actual value add information? Even if you've published it elsewhere and now it's going in that email newsletter as well, that's solid gold. That's how you get through those barriers.
So talk about, I mean, this is off the top of my head, but the last few weeks, one of the things that a lot of people have talked to me in this Play Big Movement group, and, you know, how to separate the hype, you know, going back to finding somebody that you can know, like, and trust. But so many people that are out there with a lot of hype are getting results. They're not necessarily long-term results, because customers end up seeing the truth later on. But, you know, what are some of the things that people can do to try and get through the hype?
Well, my personal observation and preference would be don't hype. If you're adding value, you could also add an invitation at the end of that communication, but it could be an invitation for a special offer. So that's as close as I think we ought to get to pitching. Mm-hmm. Or a few question and answer. Do you have this need, this need, this need? This is a good solution for you. Mm-hmm. So we're walking that recipient through a logic trail where they get to answer and they decide. And yet again, it comes to this speak to your audience listening, that too many times, I think even in our growth conferences and preparation, we get hyped up with this. I am worth X. I'm worth X if I'm worth a penny. I know my worth. Well, that's good. That's a start, but forgetting to intersect that with who's the right customer whose value fits, that it would, that value proposition would match the number. Now you've got a good thing. If you force your way through bullying, conniving, you might make your way through, but it's going to be a short engagement. It'll be an unhappy engagement, and the reviews are not going to be very good. So just make certain that you're reaching the right audience where their need matches your value proposition. There you've got pure gold, where it's partnerships. It makes sense. You're going to get great reviews. You're going to have continuing business from the same customers even, because they know they can really trust you.
Yeah, I talk about the fact there's a difference between selling and serving. When you sell, it's a transaction, one-time occurrence. When you serve, you create a relationship. And that relationship can create a lifetime of sales. So very similar messaging.
Yes.
So tell me what's next for Cheryl. Tell me what you're working on and where you're headed. And then when I want you to tell people how they can find you.
Okay. What's next is that this time later, I think our organization has finally struck the right model for growth. And so we are growing. But carefully, only bringing the right people into our team and for the right clients. So that is happening. But regardless, I love entrepreneurs. I adore entrepreneurs. So we're perpetually providing material that people not at this stage, that makes sense for them to engage us, are still getting some value and know what to do on their own. We've created what we call a fast start program. And it is just on fire. But I realized that at the level we play best, which is generally growth companies, profitability, they're in profit or they're on a very fast track, maybe between 5 and 50 million. That's not everybody. That's a magic arena for us, because people know they need what we have and we can most directly move the needle for them. But it's still scary for an organization to make a year contract that big. It's a tough, tough thing. So this Fast Start program applies to anyone who would like to have it. It's a one-time price that gives them a foundation over 60 to 90 days so that they've got their messaging superb. It is consistent. Help them get their initial press release out, the initial right stories out, so that if you go to Google or to their website, you've laid the breadcrumbs that allow those recipients, the first thing they're going to do, if they're maybe interested in you or your category, is they're going to look on Google, and they will find out in a hurry, or they're working to ascertain, does this category or this solution really matter? Is this really a thing? And if it is this the party I should be talking to? So if you're not in the conversation, or the things that pop up are either what I jokingly call random acts of PR, or heaven forbid, conflicting, yeah, those are things that employees could call up the press and maybe get in there. But if it's not uniformly telling the value message or pointing to it, you've got a problem. You're maybe even doing yourself a disservice. So we do that for 60, 90 days, one price tag. Generally, it's $15,000. And then at that point, what happens after is determined 100% by ROI. Can you take it on yourself or in your own team? Or can a small kind of engagement continue that momentum? Or are you fine for a while? Or do you need to go bigger? But then people are highly confident and happy to go the next step. So
sure. Yeah. That's great. That's wonderful. That's great. And so from a standpoint of finding you, how can they best find you?
Oh, I love to answer this question. Google my name. Because we are doing the things that we advise for others, and that makes it very, very easy. And in fact, you could Google my name two ways, Cheryl Connor or Cheryl Snap Connor. And there's a funny joke about why I go by the three names when I can. When I first began writing for Forbes, I didn't. I thought, you know, I've been married 10 years. I can go by my married name. People will find me. But not only did they find me, but you could look up Cheryl Connor and find a handful of other people in the U.S. that are not me. And one in particular was somebody about my height, coloring, body style. Not me. It was a porn site from Las Vegas. I've even put that up before and just redacted the parts people don't want to see.
Yeah.
There are good reasons to make certain you cannot be confused with anyone else when they look for you.
I love that.
But I'm easy to find.
Yeah. So as we close, I want you to just a few words about the importance of people maintaining vigilance over their online reputation and how they show up, just like you shared about yourself.
Yes.
The importance of that.
So important. I really advise every person living to be on the record for who you really are and what you really stand for so many reasons. It's the legacy that your children and your grandchildren will find if they want to determine what did grandma stand for and did she walk her talk. It's also the very best protection you have when something comes out of the blue, and generally, no matter how well you prepare for a crisis, it'll come from some direction you could have never expected. That is a time when your emotions are peaked and you are not in a position to contend with it as well as you could prior. But if there is ample evidence on the record, anyone who sees or is familiar with a crisis has enough evidence to draw their own conclusion, and you are not nearly in the situation you could have been if bad news occurs.
So if somebody posts something negative about you, you have no idea who they are, you don't know where they came from, is there any recourse as it relates to being on Google to get that removed, or is it something you just need to have a lot more people do positive posts? What do you recommend to somebody that finds something like that?
It depends on how bad it is. So for example, if it's the rare bad review, and somebody always is going to be, I don't know what, off their meds or whatever happens, it may be better to just respond with something professional. Like, that doesn't sound like anything we've ever experienced, even to the point I wonder, is this a real review? But regardless, if you've had that experience, please let me contact you, and we want to do everything in our power to make it right. So that kind of a response may be enough to quell it. Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody really, really after you in a fierce and inappropriate way, and it's causing your business damage, there are some ways to get a legal proceeding in place that would require Google to remove the content. You have to be especially careful of things like Twitter, for example. When things have gone to a court situation, there have been court orders that require a person to stop the defamation, take it down, and go away. But there are some things that are insidious, like Twitter, where it is so hard to get something taken down. And even if you do, it may have just poured more gasoline on a troll who it takes them 5 minutes to create another phony account, even name it with a name that makes it clear they exist only to harangue a person or a business.
Right.
And keep on going. And it just energizes them further. So you can get court orders, but I would do it in the cases where you know it's really warranted and it's doing damage to your business that you can resolve. Sometimes on the Twitter trolls, best just to not give them the energy unless they're doing things like tweeting to your program guests. Mm-hmm. How would you dare cross the picket line and engage with this conference or this company in a way that could really make people fear that the mob is going to come after them next if they dare to go forward with you. So that's really rough. You almost just have to divide and conquer, find the individuals in that swarm who are thinking logically. If you really, really want improved environments, please work with me on creating an improved environment. Taking my organization down will not lead to improvement for anyone. So
what I loved about the couple times when we were at Rich Dad, we had people come and comment, make terrible comments. And so I would sit back and say, okay, how's the best way to respond to this? And, you know, and I'd draft a response and I'd let it sit and I'd think about it. And, you know, and before I got to the point where I actually responded, we had so many other customers that responded for us that it was like almost heartwarming to see the outpouring of defendants and support and love that we had from other customers. So that's the best kind of defense, I think, to have other
people. No, it really is. And then just redouble your efforts to reward and thank and enrich the people who are having that good experience and willing to say so.
Yep, absolutely. So everything we've talked about today, Cheryl, has been, you know, validation that when you are starting your business, growing your business, taking it to the next level, it is important to have the right people on your team and really have people who understand the dynamics of public relations, how it's changed, and you made one comment, and the connections. And so mm-hmm. I talk a lot about the power of association and how that's so vital in today's business world. Speed to market is very important. The power of knowing who to contact and who to reach. And so talk about a little bit about power of association as we close out today.
Yes, in many respects, you are known by who you keep company with. It's true for your own progress. And, you know, there's the famous statement that you are the sum of the five people you interact with most. So think about that. But that also works for your reputation. If you align with high quality people, your reputation it increases as well. And so that is well worth making certain that you do at all times. And that could come in a variety of ways. But yes, your visibility will increase and your credibility will increase if you align with the right cast of players. So I would do that at all times.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for giving your time. You're going to hang in here with me for a few minutes because we're going to do a private podcast for the private Facebook group, Play Big Movement, and a little more inside information. And I just wanted to thank you so much for sharing your wise counsel with us today and to congratulate you for the growth of your firm. And it sounds like you are still growing, very upward trajectory, and the value that you add to the people who you work with and even those people who you feel confident in supporting. Again, as I mentioned, I think what you've done for Secret Knock and CEO Space is just incredible, and I thank you for that. So,
thank you. And likewise.
Hold on for just a moment, and we will be going into the private recording. And for all of you listening to this and watching this podcast with Cheryl Snap Connor, please reach out to her, take your notes. She had some incredible information, and go out and make and have just an incredible, fantastic day.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lechter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lechter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.